I'm super excited for y'all this morning because we got a guest speaker. Flew them all the way out here from, they're from here. But no, we got one of my favorite people in the world. That's right. You're like, you didn't need to say that. Okay. Never mind. But we got one of my favorite people. She is an awesome girl. She has a heart for literally middle school. And she killed it first service, like real talk. So I'm excited for all of what y'all going to hear. So y'all go ahead and welcome up Miss Trinity Moore. Let's go, Trin. I'll bring you there. Yeah, don't worry. But yeah, I'll get you the what's this called? I'll get you the just put it over here. Just put it over there. I'll get you. But here's Miss Trinity Moore. Go for it.
All right. Hey, y'all. Oh, let me try it again. Hey, y'all. I'm happy to be with you all. Second service is y'all are my people. It's kind of like, you ever had that classroom? Anybody have that class where you don't have any friends in that class? Anybody have a class like that? We have no friends in that class. You don't know anybody. And then, well, some of us, okay, well, what about the class where you have all your friends in there, right? You walk in, you're like, hey, all your friends, right? Yeah. Anyway, so second service is my people. Oh, thank you.
Gotcha, Hunter, gotcha.
Thank you, Hunter. Thank you. Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you. And so, yeah, second service, you are my people. No shade to first service. I love first service, but second service, you're my group. So before we even get started, I want to do something that I typically do with my students. I teach seventh grade, for those of you who don't know. And a lot of time for them to respond back to me, I let them use facial expressions. So a lot of times they don't want to raise their hand because of fear of what somebody thinks. So I usually use emojis. Y'all know what emojis are, right? Emojis, everybody texts us, yes. All right. And so we're going to go over about six different facial expressions that we're going to go over, so that way when I am teaching, you can respond back to me with your six different facial expressions. But I need a brave boy and a brave girl to be able to show my facial expressions. Okay, I saw how you gonna put your hand down? All right, let's go. Victoria, come on. Yeah, come on. And on the end with the glasses. Yes. Oh, there you go. Stay over here. I'm sorry. I met him. I'm sorry. You're just showing the facial expressions. All right. So if I say I want you to do this emoji expression throughout my teaching, then you have to respond back to me with that. Okay? So the first one, I think people call it the grinning, but I don't call it grinning. It is the first emoji. There you go. All right. So the first emoji, it's kind of like, I don't know. So you have to show that. What's the do that emoji face? There you go, boy. Go ahead. Hey, there you go. And so this is the one, I always see it from my kids, especially when I ask them if they do my homework. I'm like, oh, did you get my homework? They're like, nah, I don't know about all that. I'm like, you about to get a zero. So, so that one is this one that we use when I ask my kids, they know a concept. They're kind of like, I don't know. And then when you do it, you got to lean back with it. So we all do it together. Ready? Lean. Oh, there you go. Like, okay. All right. The next one is a simple smiley face. So smile. There you go. Smile. There you, okay. Okay. and the third one, I don't know if this is a real emoji. I've never seen this in my phone, but it's kind of like a it's on face. So you got to do the it's on. Go ahead. There you go. Oh, snap. Not with the glasses off. Okay. and the next one, silly face. I can't do this one. I think it's like, okay, try it. Oh, you did it good. Go ahead. Okay. You got this down pat. The next one. As you're thinking, I love this emoji. I'm always like, people text me, I'm like, nah. Go ahead. There you go. Model. There you go. And the last one is a little sad face. Sad. Go ahead, do sad. Oh, like you're crying. Okay. Sad face. Victoria's laugh too much. You got to do a sad face. Oh, Jesus. She can't do a sad face. But anyways, all right. Thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you. Oh, yeah. If you want to bow or whatever. And so I love doing those faces so that way my students can respond to me. So if I'm talking to you and I say, I need for you to make this facial expression, then you'll make that facial expression. And the last thing, the very last thing before we get started, I need for you to turn to your neighbor. Anybody, left or right, don't matter. Turn to your neighbor. If you're on an empty row, look down the row, okay? And you got to repeat after me, okay? Say, neighbor, you cool and all, but don't talk to me, okay? Because I need this. You need this. We need this. Now turn to the person behind you, or if you're in the back row, look in the front. I'm sorry, okay? All right, and say, neighbor, don't tap me, because I need this, you need this, we need this. All right, now turn around. All right, and so I know that was like a little fun and games or whatever, but on a serious note, when you are, we're having the word, there you go. All right, and so when we are having the word, I wish somebody would tell me to make sure I'm paying attention so you can hold off in your conversation with your friends and things of that nature, okay? And so we're going to go ahead and pray. So close your eyes, bow your heads. Yeah. Father God, I just thank you. First of all, I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. I thank you for allowing us to come together and gather, God, in your name to draw closer to you. And Father, I just thank you for your word that's brought being brought forth. It's not my words, but it's your words. And God, thank you for open hearts and open minds to receive your word, to receive your love, to have for us to have a revelation of how you love us, God, and for us to have a revelation to love ourselves. And God, I thank you for myself and for every person that's listening, student and leader alike, Father, that they will know, God, that you love them with an immense love, a love that goes deep, and that we would not walk out of here the same, and we will be able to apply your promises to our life. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we'll do a quick recap. If you don't know that, we have been doing a series on love. And so Pastor Sam started last Sunday, and his was titled The Great Prescription. And The Great Prescription was talking about the commandment. And so that came from Matthew 22:36-40. And so is when Jesus' response was to the religious group. And the religious group was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they asked him this question. They said, teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And in order to do that, you have to be able to receive God's love, so therefore you can give the love back to him. And so, but that was not where he ended at. His second commandment, or he said, this is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. And so when I think of equally important, I think of, okay, on the same playing field, the same playing field. It's the same way. But it says, love your neighbor. And I stopped right there. I said, okay, God, I don't know about that. So how many of you have that person, or you know somebody that gets on your last nerve? Anybody have somebody get on your last nerve? Not only do they get on your nerve, but they sit on your nerve. Anybody got somebody that sit on your nerve? They sit on your nerve, right? And so when I'm looking through this, and I see the scripture says, the second is equally important. God said, love your neighbor. But in order to love my neighbor, I have to be able to love myself. And so as I was going over preparing the sermon notes and things of that nature, I had to ask myself, okay, well, God, do I love myself? And when I asked myself that question, I kind of was like, I don't know. I can't confidently say that I love myself. I can't confidently say that. And so I was talking to God. I said, well, you know, how can I come up here and teach to you all if I can't even say that I love myself in confidence? And the Holy Spirit brought something back to my remembrance. It's a song that actually Pastor Josiah's mom, Miss Leah Carl, she gave it to me at camp. And the Holy Spirit brought this moment to my song. We went to camp in, I don't know, about 2 years ago. And it's a song that's called I Knew What I Was Getting Into by Misty Edwards. And I want you to look at this word song. We're not going to go deep into it. But these words of the song were so good. And I had to read this as if God was talking to me. And so it said, I knew what I was getting into and I still chose you. That meant that God knew the mistakes you was going to make. He knew what you was going to get into. He knew that you was struggles you was going to have. But yet he said, I still chose you. And then he said, I knew what I was getting into and I still wanted you. And I don't know about you, but there's been times where I felt like I was unwanted and I just, you know, had this feeling of just low self-esteem. And then it says, I knew what I was getting into when I said your name, but I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into. And the last three lines really, really got to me. The last three lines says, I'm not shocked by your weaknesses. And I don't know about you, but there have been times where I feel like, even as a grown person, I'm 26 years old, and there's times where I feel like, God, I cannot do certain things. There's certain things I only can do with your grace. And there's times where in my personal time, and again, me being grown, 26, I bawl like a baby to God. Like I cry like a newborn baby. I just cry because sometimes things get so hard for me. But God says, I'm not shocked by your weakness. I'm not shocked by your sin. I'm not shocked by your brokenness. And that's his love for us, because he wants us to come to us when we're vulnerable, when we're weak, and we feel like we don't understand. Or if you're like myself, you feel like, you know, you're too old to cry. I can't, you know, cry to my mom. I'm 26 years old. And so there's times God said, but you can come to me even those vulnerable moments. And so I said, okay, God, I understand that, but I want to know, but scripture, this is a song, it's a great song, but what does your word say about me loving myself? How can I love myself through your word? And there's 4 points that we're going to go over today that I'm going to cover with you. And I said, well, I can love myself because, number one, I was first loved. That's John 3:16. Number two is that my sins and shortcomings are forgiven. Number three is that I was created in intricate detail. And then number four, I was created on a purpose for a purpose. And we're going to break each of those down. The first one, I was first loved in John 3:16. And if you grew up in church like me, we've heard the scripture over and over and over again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone believes in him, will not perish, have eternal life. We hear that over and over. We sing songs about it. But if you just look at it and water it down, it's not going to take an effect. So I had to look at this and say, okay, God, help me not to just see this as a natural scripture. A scripture I've been hearing since I was 5. Okay, God's love the world, we understand that. And so what I had to do is where I had to put my personal name in there. I had to say, for this is how God loved Trinity. He gave his one and only son so that if she believed in him, she would not perish but have eternal life. And so sometimes we have scriptures that we're like, oh, we hear that all the time, that you personalize it. And I mean, God died for me. And I don't know about you. I'm not dying for nobody. Anybody would die for somebody? I'm not dying. I'm not. Oh, well, Raven? Okay. but I'm not dying for nobody, okay? And so to think that somebody, a creator, not only somebody, but the creator died for me. I mean, he didn't even know me. I wasn't even existent. And he said, I'm going to send my son to die for you. And that sacrifice, that blew my mind, because I can love myself because Jesus sent his son to die on the cross for me. And to me, that's mind-blowing, okay? And like I said, I mean, that's a sacrifice right there. And I said, okay, God, well, I understand. I understand you sent your son to die on the cross for me, but what about the things that I've done? And how many of you have did some things where you that was super bad, like really bad, like bad, bad, bad? And so I did some things. I did some things as bad that there's things between only God and I know, like things that are just like only God and I know what went down. Okay. And I said, well, God, what about the time period in my life where there have been some times in my life that I was completely in my mind. People on the outside couldn't tell because I was good at, you know, good at putting on the front. You know, I went to church and things like that. But in my personal life, I was completely away from God. I mean, if you were, especially when I went to college, you couldn't even know that. Most likely I was a Christian. There was things that I was doing that was not right. And I said, God, what about those times? What about the times that, you know, I lied to my parents? Sorry, Mom. My mom's over there. Hey, sorry. what about the times that I lied to my parents, the things that were unforgivable? And so God says, well, I'm still going to forgive those. And that is in 1 John 1:9. And so in 1 John 1:9, which also blew my mind, it helped me to love myself. It said, when we confess our sins to him, he is faithful. And faithful means committed. That means it's a guarantee, it's a promise. If you confess your sins to him, he is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And cleanse, that doesn't mean just I'm going to wash away a little bit. It means to thoroughly wash through. And so God said, listen, it doesn't matter what you did, Trinity. It doesn't matter how many times you lied or if you cussed or if you did things that only I know about. I can forgive you. And I said, well, God, I just don't, you know, that makes me feel bad. How can you forgive me? Well, that's his love. And so teaching how to love myself, he reminds me that he's forgiven me as well. And so if the enemy comes to attack you and say, you know, what about you did? Even now, you know, the enemy last week was saying, you know, how can you get up here and teach these kids, Trinity? You remember what you did last month. You remember what you did yesterday. I mean, just yesterday. And so the enemy will bring back to your memories everything that you did. But God says, listen, I promise you, I am faithful to forgive your sins. And if you confess them, I will cleanse you. I know it's not on the screen, but there's also a verse in the Bible in Micah. I think it's Micah 7, 19, I think. But it says that God throws your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. If you can imagine a sea, you can imagine a sea, that means it's deep. I mean, you look at a beach and you can't even see the ends of it. And so when God forgive you, he's like, okay, yeah, I forgive you. And now it's gone. So let's move forward. And so when the enemy tries to bring things back to your remembrance, that's just the enemy, it's not God. So I know that I can love myself because even the things that I feel are the most unforgivable that to this day only God and I know about, God says, I've forgiven you, you can move forward. And the third one, which I love, and this is a different version of the Bible. This is the Amplified version. It's Psalms 139, 14 through 18. And I actually have a little bit definition, so I know it's a lot, but I'm going to zone on at one point. And it says, I will confess and praise you, for I am fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. And that awful means that you were in awe. Okay, God created you. It says, wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed in secret, intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. And the next verse says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. So to me, that's just mind-blowing right there, that God saw my unformed substance before I was even anything. And so if somebody feels like, you know, you don't have a purpose or, you know, you're not seeing, God's eyes are on you from the beginning. And then it says, in your book, all days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. How precious and weighty means important, also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is some of them. If I can count them, they'd be more in the number than the sand. So how many of you have been to the beach before? You've been to the beach, right? Okay? And if you're looking at a beach, God is saying, my thoughts toward you outnumber the grains of sand on the beach. And to me, that's mind-blowing. So it doesn't matter what someone says about you or think about me. I can love myself because God's thoughts for me, if I were to count them, I could lose count of his thoughts towards me. And so it says, when I woke, could I count to the end, I will still be with you. And so I'm going to go back to another verse. If you go to the back to the last slide, I want to look at the word intricate. So if you would take your hand, look at your hand, do like this, your hand, or look at your hand, I like that, sorry. And so as you probably know, being in science and things like that in science class, that we all have our own fingerprints, yes? And so I think it's cool that God said, listen, I put so much detail in creating you that I gave you your own fingerprint. There's nobody else in this world that has your own fingerprint. And for people to say, you know, there is no God and things like that, I'm like, nobody in this world has my own fingerprint like me. And so that word intricate, I give the definition. Intricate means planned or executed with painstaking attention to numerous parts or details. And so that meant that God knew exactly what he was doing. If you're like me, there's times I go into the mirror and I don't like what I see. I'm like, God, you know, why did you make me this short? Why can I not be taller? You know, why does my nose look like this? Why does my fingers look like this? And all this stuff. But God is saying, I put so much detail into creating you that I wanted your hair to look like that. I wanted your nose to look like that. If I wanted you to have curly hair, I would make you have curly hair. And all the things that we are concerned about, we compare ourselves to people. And like I said, that I had a big issue with my personality. And so I've I've always had the issue for years. My personality, I always felt that I was just, you know, too quiet or too shy. And people will always say, you know, Trinity, why you not saying nothing? I don't have anything to say. I'm just quiet. I don't know what you want me to talk. You can't force me to talk. But God also answered my question when I felt like, God, why did you give me this personality? And it wasn't till about years later that I had a student that came to me and they said, Miss Moore, I just want to thank you. I said, for what? And the student said, because I feel comfortable coming and talking to you. And the student said, Ms. Moore, I can't talk to other teachers. Other teachers are just always yelling and they're always in my face and things like that. And so God showed me that student felt comfortable coming and talking to me because of my personality, because I was calm, because I had a good demeanor and wasn't yelling all in their face. That student said, thank you for being you. And so God said, you know what? You're so worried about being like that person who's loud, that person life at the party, where you would have missed that divine encounter with that student who said, thank you, I can come talk to you as well. And so I said, okay, God, thank you for my personality. So if you have a personality, maybe you're just like the life of the party, you're crazy or whatever it is, or you're quiet like myself at times, then God has a purpose of why he created you to be that way. And so I can love myself knowing that every part of me, from my hair to my nails to my toes or whatever, that God created that with purpose. And our last one is coming from Ephesians 2:10. And it says, for we are God's masterpiece. And I love that it says masterpiece, because masterpiece means that it was a great skill of work. It wasn't something that was just slopped together. It was something that God took his time to get into. And so I said, okay, God, we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. And so has anybody ever, your parents ever tell you that you wasn't planned? They didn't plan for you? Anybody ever said that before? Their parents like, oh, I didn't know that you was going to be here. I wasn't planned. Okay. And so that when people say that, of course, we're not going to get into the big detail of that. But for you to know that you were planned, God knew you was going to be here in 2017. He knew what year you was going to be born. And I love that he says we are his masterpiece, that he has created us anew in Christ Jesus, that we can do the good things he planned for us. So I can love myself knowing that I was planned to be here. God destined for me to be here. And so as I wrap up, I want you to keep in mind the four main points so that way you know our second aspect, love to love ourselves. It's knowing that you are loved, knowing that you was created on purpose, knowing that you was created with intricate detail, and knowing also that your sins are forgiven. And so if I'm just going to close it here, but if you will close your eyes, go ahead and close your eyes. And I'm not going to do like a altar call or anything like that. I'm just going to pray over you, pray over myself and too, and everybody in the room to make sure that we have an understanding of how to love ourselves. So, Father God, I just thank you again, God. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father. And I just thank you that as the word was brought forth, God, that no matter if we was even distracted, but our spirit man picked up on it, Father, that Holy Spirit, you'll bring your word back to our memories throughout the week and teach us how to love ourselves as we go into our neighborhoods, as we go into homes, as we go back to school, Father, that we remind of your word. We be reminded, God, that you first loved us, that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, Father, that we remember that no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter how bad we think we've been, God, that you've forgiven our sins, you would continue to forgive our sins, and you would continue to cleanse us. And also, God, that we would have an understanding, God, that we were made in intricate detail. There's no part of us, God, from top of our head to the sole of our feet that was a mistake. Every part of us has purpose, and we don't have to compare ourselves to anybody else. And so, God, lastly, that we've had understanding, God, that we're not in competition, that what you have for us is for us. So, Holy Spirit, teach us how to love ourselves. In the name of Jesus, amen.